It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me tomorrow. Coming up, we're taking your calls on the State of the Union Address. What did you think of President Obama's speech? Did you hear what you wanted, or do you wish the president had said something different, and why? And what did you think of the president's proposals to help the middle class? Call in now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. First, we're talking to a political science expert about the speech. Last night was exactly 6 years to the day from President Obama's inauguration in 2009. In this State of the Union address, the president emphasized economic progress and made the case that things are looking up for the United States.
America, for all that we have endured, for all the grit and hard work required to come back, for all the tasks that lie ahead, know this: the shadow of crisis has passed, and the State of the Union is strong.
Here to look closer at the State of the Union speech and its political implications, we have Joe Heim with us. He's a professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Well, what was your initial read on the president's speech?
Initially, I thought it was one of his best speeches. I thought of that at the very end of it, of course, because there were different parts of it which were better than others. But on balance, it didn't seem as much like a typical State of the Union address as it did almost an inaugural address. He had some parts in there for Democrats. He had a little bit, very little, frankly, for Republicans. Most of it, I think, was directed at the public in general. The last part, what I would call the values of the vision session, was really interesting. There was that part especially was vintage Obama.
Now, this is a unique situation for the president. It's the second half of the second term. He doesn't have re-election to look at. He's got the Congress he's going to get. So there's no real election implications for him personally of this. Does that in some ways free up a president in these last couple State of the Unions?
In a way, but keep in mind in the back of his mind is his legacy. So he started to, he seems to be at least the last, since November, building a legacy, accomplishments, things like that. I thought this speech was directed, at least the policy sections were directed more at Democrats and the Democratic base out there. The policy implications of that would be his legacy, but more importantly, it seemed to me he was trying to set the stage for the 2016 elections and essentially give the, call it marching orders for the Democrats, things that they can run on. And obviously, he's this isn't new that he's talked about the middle class, but I think he's focusing on the middle class and essentially trying to ask the Democrats, or suggest to the Democrats that they compare what the Democrats are, the middle-class party versus the other party, which, is the party of the elites or the party of the rich. So I thought there was a little bit element there of trying to set the stage for the next election go-around.
Now, talking about increasing the capital gains tax, something targeted toward the upper tier of the economy to help the middle class, policy-wise, that's probably something that Republicans in Congress aren't going to embrace. So on the policy side, this is a lot of stuff that isn't going to happen, is it?
Absolutely. The tax stuff is dead in the water, DOA, dead on arrival. And much of what the policy proposals are essentially dead on arrival. The child care, lowering taxes in the middle class, everybody would like that type of thing. Paid sick leave, maternity leave, equal pay. Many of these things have been done before. But essentially, those things to me to be directed at Democrats, and obviously they don't control the Democratic Party. During the speech, I was actually thinking, does he remember who's running the Congress these days? It didn't. I was expecting him either to be conciliatory towards the Republicans and look for areas that they could work with, or be confrontational. And in a sense, in some respects, the speech was neither. It wasn't directed very much at Republicans at all.
And that was some of the criticism from Republicans, that the president didn't seem to acknowledge the reality of those last congressional elections.
No, he really ignored it, frankly. Frankly, it was kind of amazing. I was expecting a slightly different kind of a speech. I enjoyed the speech. I thought it was really well done. But ultimately, it didn't seem to do much with the Republicans, and it remains to be seen just how well he's going to be able to work with them. I do think there's areas of agreement that are possible, but not much of the what I'll call the Democratic agenda is not things that are likely going to pass. And frankly, the tax proposals, maybe that sells well to say that, we want a dollar here, but we're going to collect a dollar there. In other words, instead of simply saying you're trying to add to the deficit, you're going to collect taxes. I think there was roughly $320 billion in new taxes in there. Well, that's not going to go through this Congress at all. I think everybody knows that.
Well, President Obama hit the theme of a recovering economy really hard in last night's speech. Let's take a brief listen.
At this moment, with a growing economy, shrinking deficits, bustling industry, booming energy production, we have risen from recession freer to write our own future than any other nation on earth. It's now up to us to choose who we want to be over the next 15 years and for decades to come.
So as we've talked about on the show today, this is a speech in the context of an economic improvement that we hadn't seen in earlier State of the Union speeches from the president. He trumpeted this economic progress quite a bit. How do you think that was received politically?
I think that was received very well because I think it's basically pretty accurate. You know, if you look at the last 6 years, we've had a very steady period of increase decreases in unemployment, slow growth in the GNP. You know, periodically people say, yes, but we need to do more. But the reality is things have gotten very slowly better over the last 6 years, and you have to say that the president certainly has a right to take credit for that. He has been criticized by Republicans for years that his economic policies are failures. And frankly, a lot of the polls seem to kind of agree with that. But at this point, you look back and say, well, after 6 years, we're in pretty good shape. I think he wisely took credit for that.
This is something I always wonder with governors getting credit or blame for state economies that are largely sometimes out of their control. Can a president really take that much credit, or is this just an upward cycle after a big downturn that probably would have been happening more or less no matter who was in the White House?
Probably more of the latter. He certainly could take credit for the stimulus and some of the spending that was going on, but frankly, a lot of that was reined in. But ultimately, you take credit for what's going on in front of you. You know, the low interest rates probably are the single most important factor in terms of the economy. But generally, this is just a normal recovery. It just has taken longer because the Great Recession was worse than most.
Does the improving economy free up Congress and the president when it comes to tax and spending policy? They've got maybe a little more wiggle room than they had when the economy was in dire straits.
Yeah. One of the things you did not hear last night mentioned by the president was the national debt. In fact, even the Republican response mentioned it very briefly. But ultimately, the debt seems to be kind of like a lost issue. And therefore, taxing and spending can be discussed at least. Now, the fact is, however, I don't think Republicans are going to go with increased taxes. And they're going to be very leery about increased spending. But all that said, I do think the Republicans want to look, going into the 2016 election cycle, they want to look like they can govern. And that may require just not saying no to everything. So there's at least a possibility of some compromises here, both in the tax area, particularly tax reform, but also in the spending area, at least in terms of the tax credits. There's some of the tax credit proposals that the president said were, in fact, approved by presidents in the past and, frankly, approved by Republicans in the past.
Do you see, outside of the direct budgetary issues, do you see other room for common ground between the president and the Republican Congress?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Are there other policy areas where they might be able to work together and get something passed?
Well, I do think that the tax reform issue, both sides seem to agree that there's corporate tax changes for corporate taxes seem to be in order. The things that I thought were are still very possible, cyber protection, for example, that's more of a policy area. It's not so much a spending area, but I think both sides clearly feel that there's a need for that. I think, in general, infrastructure is one of the things that is not a partisan issue that I think the Republicans could agree on. I'm not sure about the spending or where the money would come from for it, but basically I think that's an area as well. Last but not least, the area that clearly is most likely is the trade issue, both specific trans-Pacific trade and the European trade agreements. I think Republicans are more in favor of that than the Democrats, so the president could make a deal with them on this.
I wanted to get into a couple other issues that the president was talking about over the last week and in the State of the Union. He has this proposal to try to lower the cost of community college to zero, free community college, at least for eligible students. Is that something that you think might be able to get approved by Congress?
I'd say relatively unlikely. I think it was initially very well received. It's clearly a middle class type of a proposal, and it goes along with his theme, you know, the general theme of the middle class pitch that he's proponing here. But I don't think I've seen some editorials in the last week or two that actually criticized it, suggesting that why should you provide low cost or no cost education to people who can already afford it? In other words, suggesting perhaps that it should be means tested. And that frankly surprised me, because I thought the initial reaction to the community college zero cost would be very positively received. I still think it can be, but ultimately it's a cost factor, and this is where the Republicans probably are going to bucket it, suggest that the money's just simply not there.
The president also promoting the idea of requiring a certain amount of paid sick leave for all American workers. And this is one where he said even if Congress doesn't pass, as he was encouraging states or even city governments to take the lead. So is this a place where a bully pulpit, even if Congress doesn't agree, might make some changes at the local level?
I think this was another one of those examples where it's very popular type of a thing that almost anybody listening to that would say, you know, that seems logical. Maternity leave or paid sick leave. I mean, that's many, you know, huge numbers of Americans have that already. So the bully pulpit, to the degree that he can do that, he's never been particularly good at that, by the way. He seems to, does not sell his ideas as well as perhaps previous presidents have, but essentially that's one of the areas that he could do. Frankly, I'd like to see him get out on the road and try to sell some of this stuff.
Well, he, I think, went to Idaho, pitching some of these, his first trip, I understand, as president anyway, to Idaho. Looking over the next 2 years, based on what you've seen in this State of the Union speech, what do you think President Obama's presidency will wrap up like? What are you looking for in the next couple of years?
Well, because I think the Republicans are interested in looking like they're willing to govern, I think some of this is actually going to happen. It may, in fact, surprise us all that more will happen than expected. But frankly, I don't expect a lot, but at least some things. But the president is moving towards a, you know, his lame duck status. I think he wants to try to, and I thought his speech was particularly well done because he was trying to say, look, I'm relevant. And that worked, frankly. But I think, unfortunately, given the state of affairs and given the Congress, he's simply not going to get much of his policy agenda done.
Joe, thanks a lot for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. He was with us to analyze President Obama's State of the Union speech last night.